now is Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Thanks for being with us, as is customary, the Tuesday morning following the Fairhope City Council meetings. What would we do in the case of rain for the festival? How does that work? I know you work closely with the foundation committee.
Right. You know, it's rain or shine event. Obviously, we know we've had rain in the past. Typically, you get some rain during that weekend. I think the thing that concerns them most is not so much the rain as the winds because of the tents. So that's why it's real important that the committee makes sure that the tents are secure. It looks like Thursday evening is going to be good for setup. Friday may be a wash, to be honest, because of the rain, the amount of rain it looks like we're going to have. But Saturday and Sunday looks beautiful. So it is rain or shine.
Okay, so it will go on, and we can just hope that it'll skirt north of us like it often does.
That's
when
right.
They predict it.
We're thankful for the bay. It usually divides that up and sends it north.
That's right. It
That's
does.
Right.
Okay, well, good. Let's start with the work session. There was a few things on there, and one was concerning the Alabama Historical Commission. Tell us about that.
So right now, everybody knows that we have a Historic Preservation Committee, and we have talked for a long time, I mean, for as long as my tenure has been with the city previously, talking about, you know, putting an ordinance in place and having a true historical commission. That doesn't mean that we're going to review houses that are going to be torn down or review houses for paint colors and that kind of stuff.
It got into that at one point, which
did.
Is why it stalled.
It did, right. And you can add design review to your ordinance. I don't think that's anybody's intent at this point. I think it is just to put some extra layers in there to make sure when people do want to take down a home that they there's some extra layers they have to jump through, whether that's going to planning commission for a demolition permit or some things like that. That would all be laid out in the ordinance. But the first thing we would have to do would be put an ordinance in place.
And so this Alabama Historical Commission certified local government program is the way to go about that?
It would be, because the first step to that is putting a ordinance in place. The other thing, it would lay out what your commission looks like, lay out the rules of the commission, lay out the rules of the ordinance itself, talk about the historic districts. It would also allow us to apply for some grant funds, because those historic districts, it's been, I think, since 2014 since they were surveyed. So as both of us know, Fairhope has changed a lot since then. So to look at those districts and to survey those districts again, and to also add, if we wanted to add a district or add contributing properties to those districts.
I've seen some historic signs, and you're saying we already have some historic districts designated.
We do, but there's no teeth to those historic districts.
So what happens if I own a historic home and I want to tear it down? What would this do?
Then you would have to do proper permitting. It would be inspected as a historic home, and any kind of renovation you wanted to do. It could also mean that you would have to go before the planning commission or the historic commission before you tore anything down, before you did a remodel, just to make sure you're keeping within the character of the neighborhood and the home. It doesn't mean that they're going to tell you you can't do it. It doesn't mean that from a feasibility standpoint, if things aren't worth saving, but it just gives that extra layer.
Okay.
And a lot of that will be laid out in the ordinance, Lori. And of course, that's going to be the council's decisions. If people are interested, I would tell them to go on the Alabama Historical Commission website. There's sample ordinances there that they can look at from other cities.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, it will be interesting. This has been a sticky subject in the past for many years, going back to Debbie Quinn council days.
It has been. And I think the thing about it is that we are not trying to strong arm anybody. I don't think that's the council's wishes at all. I think they want to be very objective when it comes to, you know, historic preservation. They want to be able to, to work with people. But for people just to come in and tear down historic homes, we really want to, to work with those folks. But a lot of this also involves commercial property, not so much the residential property, because there's historic tax credits for commercial property. There's not those credits for residential homes. So there's a commercial aspect to it and a residential aspect.
Okay. Interesting. Also on the work session last night was a project status and budget update for the roundabout on North Section. That's at the clock.
It is at the flower clock.
Okay.
That's right. We are expecting to put that bid out and hopefully receive bids back by the fall of this year, so October, November, and then start the work, hopefully. It's a 270-day contract, but it looks like it's going to be coming in, based on engineer estimates, about $77,000 over budget. So before we went any further, we just really wanted to sit down with the council, make sure they were comfortable with this, and, you know, before we move forward.
everything's mm-hmm. going up.
Yeah. They were, yeah. It is, unfortunately. And, again, that's an MPO project, plus, you know, the city's contribution totally would be $400,000.
Okay. Also on the work session was discussion for another building inspector. Now that we're no longer in control of what's in our jurisdiction, just the city limits, is another building inspector needed?
To be honest, yes, because of some of the things that we are seeing. And Eric Cortinas did a great job laying out why they need an additional inspector. You know, for instance, he talked about the Reserve last night. That's that senior living facility going right there at the corner of Atlanta. I mean, they're starting to bring their units online to inspect. If they inspect 10 units, it takes 3 inspectors half a day to do that. And when you tie people up on one project like that, and there's so many commercial projects going on, it's hard to get to all of them. They are, right now, he gave a real good, they've issued 700, and from October 1 through January 31st, they've permits have been issued 749. They're averaging
749 building permits.
And that's
within our city limits.
That's an average of 188 per month. And granted, October, November would have been outside our jurisdiction, but from January to now, which this only goes through the 31st of January, is only in the corporate limits. The total construction value of those permits is $115 million, and their inspectors have performed 2,538 inspections. That's an average of 32 per day. So, and we're not seeing building here in the corporate limits slow down. You know, we still have quite a few apartments. Anything we were working outside of our city limits, we're continuing to work.
Right, anything that existed already.
So we're talking about those apartments at near 40 on 44, near 13. Which we called Carmel Flats. I think they're called something else now. You're talking about subdivisions in the corporate limits. You're talking about the things that are going on downtown. So there's a lot going on. And we talked at budget time about him possibly needing another inspector.
Right.
I asked him to wait to see how SB 107 kind of impacted us. But we are starting to see more commercial projects inside mm-hmm. our city limits than we have in the past.
Well, if Eric says you need it, I would believe you.
Me
and
too.
Folks can watch the video from the meeting on the City of Fairhope YouTube channel. Does this bring up the topic of maybe the need for another moratorium on development when you've got almost 800 applications in, 4 months?
You know, I don't like to even say that word, moratorium. I mean, I know I do have people often call me and ask about it. I think that the growth we're seeing is, you know, it's things that are enhancing Fairhope. I mean, you think about, like, the hardware store. If the hardware store were to sell and that construction were to be done. This is also projects that we're doing ourselves that they do inspections on, you know, so that would be the restrooms like that we just built at Volana and at Founders.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the project that's going on in the alleyway. So they also do inspections for us as well. So there is, I think that right now the growth that we're seeing is, you know, the commercial growth that we're seeing is, it's good things are happening. The public, both the publics that have been built, you know, they inspect those, all these. So there's a lot of good economic growth going on right now.
Also on the work session, discussion of additional police space. Council President Jay Robinson was here yesterday and said that the Walmart land for a police substation just isn't working out yet. It's tied up in some kind of legality or stalled.
It's not. Well, they've actually changed lawyers about 3 or 4 times. I guess corporate lawyers, they've changed. And so we just haven't been able to nail that down. Not saying that's not still on the table. Could be. We keep reaching out monthly just to kind of find out where we are. But in the interim, we're just really running out of space. And it's really hard to get out of the police station in downtown, as you can imagine. We're having to look at, you know, just navigating that traffic there. So to be able to, we've been looking for something out on Greeno. This kind of, you know, came available and started looking at that just to help with patrol east of town. Not to mention, we purchased some training equipment last year, about $70,000 worth of training equipment, and they really have no place to do it. We thought we could maybe use the Del Champ suite and let them set up there, keep it there, set up there permanently, but that's used too often for them to do that. So this will allow some training space and also office space for patrol.
What would the property you're looking at on Greeno?
So it's about 7,000 square feet.
It'd be a purchase?
It would not be a purchase. It's going to be a lease.
Okay.
A lease.
I still say that Triangle property is prime for development for a new civic center, a new police station, everything you'll need right here in town.
Absolutely not. That will, we think it's really important to maintain that green space as our entry.
Okay. Well, how many acres is that again?
104. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll bite my tongue and keep going.
Okay.
Let's move on to anything that you want to mention else from the work session, committee updates or department head updates.
I don't think so.
All right. Then on to the agenda. What was your report of the mayor?
So we honored Vince Booth, who is an 8-year volunteer to the airport authority. His term expires in the end of this month. So we wanted to recognize him for his volunteerism, thank him for all he does. You know, there are things that Vince has been doing here in Fairhope for years, not only with the airport authority, but with recreation and different things. He's just somebody who kind of works behind the scenes. People don't really know he's there, but he's always been a huge supporter of Fairhope and what we do here. Also talked about the opening day of softball and baseball. We've had those the past couple weekends.
That was a huge turnout. And
it was.
The dedication to Van Saltz and
Mike Billingham.
Coach Fillingham.
Mm-hmm. Mike Fillingham, you know, Van Saltz, of course, passed away a couple years ago, and Van has been, Van just was a huge supporter of recreation. He had Eastern Shore Sporting Goods, and just, you know, him and his family
still
have always been involved.
Story.
Me too.
Them,
me too. Yeah. We still need another one. Mm-hmm. I hope maybe Brenda should pick up that torch and run with it. But Van just always did so much for youth baseball and really took it to that next level with the Dixie Youth Program, because he was also a commissioner on Dixie Youth Program. But then Mike Fillingham has volunteered with the Fairhope High School Baseball Program for 41 years.
Wow.
So to find somebody who's volunteered that long, I'm so glad that we were able to recognize both of those gentlemen. But that was this weekend, and then we had an alumni game at the high school field, and not really, it was more of a home run derby, and I think they were going to do a softball game. I don't know if the softball game ever happened, but it's nice to see, you know, whenever you get a group of men like that together, whether they're, you know, 50, 60, 30, it doesn't matter, they all become little boys again.
Right,
so
that's
they
cute.
Love to see who they can, who can out-hit the other one. But we also have spring soccer this weekend, arts and crafts, and spring fever chase, so just mention those spring events and how much I appreciate the city staff and all they do for you know, getting us ready for those events.
Yes, indeed. A very busy time for us. And y'all are doing a great job of disseminating information via the Facebook page.
Thank
and
you.
I presume this is also on the website.
It is.
Okay,
it
good.
Is.
About the festival. And then
yeah.
Folks can just go to Fairhope. Fairhope Arts and Crafts
Festival.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a very comprehensive website of everything you need to know about parking, etc.
Parking is, the advice is to take the shuttle.
Yes.
Take the shuttle from out at the shopping centers.
Yeah. Piggly Wiggly and Big Lots parking lots. They're $5 for a round trip. And you're exactly right. You can't.
It's well worth it.
You cannot beat that.
No.
On to the council agenda. There was a public hearing to establish zoning for B2 general business and annexation into the city, 1.16 acres at the northeast corner of 181 and 104.
Mm-hmm.
That's, what property is that?
It's where the Wawa's is going.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so you kind of have
to. That's the gas station.
The gas station,
yeah.
Correct.
And then the other one is going right there at Twin Beach and 98.
That's
kind
correct.
Of in front of the.
That's correct.
Next to the high school.
That's correct.
Okay.
So when we talk about building inspections, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Here. These are good economic projects for Fairhope, and glad to have them coming to Fairhope to do business.
Right, okay. We also. Restore Act sewer upgrade. This was a grant increase.
It was.
For the sewer project. That's amazing.
It is amazing. So Restore and ACDNR has found that most of these projects that people are doing, because they've been sitting for so long, I mean, this project's been going on for 3-4 years.
Initially a $12 million, was it?
Yeah,
the 12 million grant?
And getting through the total, it was actually $10 million.
Okay.
Because we got another 3.5. So we've seen cost increase on everything, and this is just a cost increase. So basically people have been going back to Restore ACDNR and asking for a plus up in the budgets, and that's what this was.
So now it's $13.5 million.
That's correct.
Wow. And what all, in a summary, the mm-hmm. sewer upgrade include?
This is going to rehab 6 lift stations. It's going to line miles of sewer line, and it's also going to rehab over 2,000 manholes.
Wow.
So a lot of work.
Okay. Okay. What else would you like to mention from the meeting last night on the agenda?
I really don't think there is much. You know, it was a great meeting, but not a ton on the agenda for us, too.
It was kind of short.
What it was short.
Number 10, the utility cost of service study. The study is going to cost $77,000.
Right. This is a study that you usually do every 3 to 5 years. We're in the five-year window. And so AMEA, our electric provider, provides a $25,000 grant towards this project for electric cost of services study. So we're going to use that $25,000, then split the additional between the gas and the water and sewer. But this will give us a cost of services study. And we all know, because of inflation and labor costs and everything else, that the cost of doing business has gone up.
Sure.
So we haven't done one in 5 years, so we wanted to do a cost of services study, and it'll probably take at least 18 months.
But now, we did have some rate increases within the past 5 years.
We have had some rate increases in the past couple years, and that was already set out in an ordinance based on the last cost of services study, especially for water and sewer.
Okay.
But we'll see what happens with that. And a lot of times people think that we've done a cost increase when it comes to electric, but a lot of times that's that, and gas, and too, a lot of times that's just the fuel adjustment that you pass through to the customer. That's the increase. It's not really us increasing the base cost.
Right.
It's just that fuel adjustment cost.
It's like, if it costs you more than anticipated, then you're going to pass some of that
Correct.
On to the consumer.
Correct. Correct. And that's the fuel adjustment.
Okay. And buying a lawnmower, appointing the airport authority. What, last, was it 2 weekends ago, they had the classic aircraft in, but it wasn't really a public air show. Why no more air shows? That used to be so cool.
It's the cost of doing them, to be honest. There's probably a way we could do it that would be a little bit more cost effective, but when we did that Festival of Flight years ago, when we brought all the static displays in and brought the military aircraft in, the cost of fuel alone was like $60,000 in that budget. And because that's typical when you have an air show, that you provide the fuel. And so it's expensive to do. I do think that there are a lot of folks who want to bring that back. And I think as the airport continues to expand, I think you'll see some of that come back. I think it's great for us to highlight the airport and everything they do out there and how much aircraft we actually see through the airport.
The airport just got a $2 million grant for a new terminal.
They did. They did.
Tell us about that.
So it's a $2 million grant. There it is for the airport authority, and it's just basically for a new terminal. The new terminal, again, is not something where we're bringing Southwest in or American Airlines or anything like that. It is typically a terminal that you will have that will be a meeting spot for pilots. It may be, it's the place where you welcome people who fly into your city. You know, the terminal we have right now is very outdated. It's in basically a metal building. It's not very attractive. It really does not represent, you know, Fairhope very well. And so we want to do something a little bit more.
But what kind of air traffic do we get other than packages and some,
oh gosh,
some business, and we get private jets?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're seeing more and more people who have hangars out at the airport or who are building hangars. But we see a lot of, I wish I had the numbers in front of me to quantify that, but we see a lot of people coming in who are doing business at the Grand Hotel. Or, you know, there are people who come through Fairhope all the time that you and I are not aware of. Executive and CEOs or people that have their own planes. But we're seeing a definite increase in air traffic in Fairhope.
And how is that beneficial? Is it to invest a $2 million? But it was a grant, right,
a grant
for the terminal?
It was a grant. Again, I think it's just how you want to do business. I mean, I think it's about, you know, replicating Fairhope's brand wherever we are, whether it's a ballpark, at the airport, wherever we are, and making people, you know, giving them that first impression and hoping that that first impression makes them want to do business here or continue to come back and spend dollars in downtown or in a hotel where we get lodging tax from or sales tax revenue. You know, and I think, obviously, we have reaped the rewards of, you know, building Fairhope's brand over the years because of what you see every day. And I think this is just an extension of that.
And one more before we run out of time. Tell us about the White Avenue Park. Some folks aren't even aware on Scenic 98 or South Mobile Street at the end of White Avenue. There's two big, huge white mansions, and in the middle of them is a cul-de-sac. And it's a public park with a pier. Who knew?
It is. It's always been a public park, Lori, forever.
Right.
It's not something that's just now happening.
Yes.
What we are trying to do is just make sure people know where our parklands are and that they can use them. So we have posted signs. They're actually the one by the street's a temporary sign. We're actually trying to get a sandblasted sign, but those take a little bit longer, something that looks a little bit nicer. But just to let people know where the public parklands are and to let them know that they can use that as a public park. Again, it's always been a public park. It will remain a public park. There's no other plans to do anything with it. You'll start to see some additional improvements there, some landscaping. We've talked about maybe reworking some of the drainage there. But, you know, again, we want to be good stewards of our parklands and also good neighbors to the people who live adjacent to the parklands.
Fairhope Times wrote a couple of articles recently indicating maybe there was an issue with the neighbors and the development of this park, and there'd been a lawsuit in the past. Can you give us a little summary of
that? There has been a lawsuit in the past with one of the neighbors. I don't know necessarily if it was over the parklands. I think it was involved a tree, maybe. I'm not sure, real sure. I haven't seen that lawsuit. But, again, I mean, there really hasn't been any issues that I'm aware of other than the fact that, you know, we want to be good stewards of the parklands and we want to be good neighbors to the people who live adjacent to the property.
Okay, and there was plans to do some development that the single tax colony, is it their park or the city's park?
It's the city's park. They deeded it to the city, you know, years ago with all the other parklands. But they, you know, in the past, single tax has come to us and said, hey, we want to enhance this area. We want to contribute to the museum, the library, or whatever it might be. So they came to us with a plan, something they wanted to do at White Avenue Park. We couldn't all get on the same, the same page on what we wanted to do as far as the improvements. So the city said, let us work on it. Let us do some improvements. So that's what we're going to do. And, again, continue to have, you know, conversation with single tax because, again, we all want to be good stewards of our parklands. But we're working on this plan now as far as putting the signage up, making sure people understand that it is a public park. And then we will start working on some improvements.
Okay. Okay, anything else that you want to mention?
I don't think so.
All right, thank you so much, as always, for your time. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, it is now 8:46 and 43 degrees. WABF, good morning.